in this portion of Scripture, we find out, of course, that God called Moses to lead the people of Israel out. You're familiar with that portion of Scripture. He called them to lead them out of Egypt, bring them up out of Egypt into the promised land. Now, I might just make mention, this is not the message, but God calls every single man who's the head of his family to lead his family out of the world. Now, that's the Egypt is a type of the world. And it's up to us, every single daddy in here, to take his family and to lead them out of this world, away from the things of the world and to the things of God. That's the responsibility that God gives every man. He gives him that responsibility and wants us to do that. For what purpose? Well, he does that. He brings them out so that they might come in. Don't just come away from the world. You come in to God and you do the will of God. So we find out again, in fact, down in verse number 12 there, he talked about, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Why does God want his people to come out of Egypt? So they can serve him. Why does God want you to bring your family out of Egypt, out of this world? So you can serve God. I say that unashamedly. Folks, it's right to serve God. Absolutely right to serve God Almighty. In fact, that's what we're supposed to do. You're God's child. I'm God's child. That's what we're here for. We're not here to serve old Pharaoh. We're here to serve God. You see, we're not here to save the world, to serve the world. We're here to serve God Almighty. Amen. So God gave Moses here the instructions to bring his people out. Now, over in chapter number 4, the last 3 verses of chapter 4. Once again, we find Moses is now in Egypt. And he says in Moses, verse 29, chapter 4, Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, that he had looked upon their afflictions, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. So here we find the people of Israel. They say, yes, God has sent you, Moses, down to us here in Egypt. He sent you. We believe God has looked upon our afflictions. He's heard our cry. And so he sent you down here to help us get out of here. And he said, the Bible says that they bowed and they worshiped God Almighty. They was all for it at that point, at that time. They was all for it. Now, let me say to you, I think if you lead your family right, you'll find that certainly they'll be for it if you start them off right. That doesn't mean you won't have some problems along the way. Doesn't mean sometimes that you'll run into some problems where, just like the people of Israel, they decided they may not want to go out of the world. But that's what daddies are for. You just bring them out of the world anyway. Amen. You do everything you can to bring them out of the world. Amen. Daddy's got a heavy responsibility. Oh, I don't know if I can get that over to us or not, but I look at that thing and I sometimes scringe sometimes at the responsibility God has put on daddies. Daddies are to love their mamas, the mamas, the wives. Oh, my, it's the responsibility to love them. Responsibility to provide for them. Responsibility to protect them. Responsibility, all those things. Responsibility to keep his children out of the world. Lead them in the ways of God. See, I worry about folk. I mean, I'm serious about that. I worry about it. I think about these things. I think there's folk right here, Blessed Old Baptist Church. I think they're good folk. I don't think they're teaching their families right. I think they're leading them in the ways of the world. I think the ways of the world are more important to them than the ways of God. All I have to do is go to some of the homes. I'm not going to do that on purpose, but if I go to some of the homes, I'd go into your children's room. It'll tell me whether you're leading them in the ways of God or in the ways of the world. I look on your walls, of your children's walls, and I can tell you exactly what their hearts are toward. You see, you may be bringing them to Sunday school and church. You may be doing all those things, but I'll walk in their room and I'll tell you very soon where their heart's at. I'll tell you real quickly whether it's after the sports people is their heroes or whether the things of God is their heroes. I'll tell you real quickly. It doesn't take long to look around and see. Amen. What I'm just simply saying to you, yeah, we could put on a show, we could act like we're doing this, but you've got to lead your family out of this world. You've got to make the things of God more important than the things of the world. Amen. So you've got to lead them in the right way. So I'm saying that. I believe God wants me to say that. He wants you to stir your hearts. You need to look at that thing, and you need to take a good look at it and see what's going on in your family life. You need to know the state of your family, state of your flock. It's up to you to do that, daddies. It's up to you to do that. Now, I know it's up to mamas, too, but daddies, you're the leader. Sure, it's up to mamas. Mamas should be right there backing them up, but daddies, you're the leader. You ought to make sure what's going on in your family and make sure they're headed for the things of God instead of the things of this world. Amen. All right, I'll get off of that for a little while. But anyway, I should get on it. That's right. That's proper. That's good preaching. It's what you ought to hear. You ought to mind what this preacher says, too. You oughtn't just listen to it and let it go through one ear. You ought to mind it. You ought to go home and throw some things out. You ought to tear some things off of walls. Get rid of some things. Those cassette tapes and those CD things. Or get rid of some magazines you might find around. Amen. Be good for you to do some house cleaning. Amen. Have a bonfire. Amen. That'd be good. Amen. It'd help your home. See, it'd help your home. That'll help them to get out of Egypt. Amen. And get over there where they belong with God Almighty, you see. And God becomes their hero. Things of God become their hero. It's what they want to do, want to be. That's the way it ought to be, you see. So we find that Moses, of course, was over in Egypt, and he was telling them, God sent me here. God sent me over here to do that. So the people said, amen, amen. We would bow down and worship God. Then we find over in chapter 6 of Exodus, verse number 28, says that it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake, now remember, he's in Egypt now, and God again is reaffirming what he's sending there for. He's telling him again. He said, this is what I want you to do, Moses. He'd already told him back there at the burning bush what he wanted him to do. But now he's telling him again, reaffirming what he wants him to do. And he says in verse 29, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I'm the Lord, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. You know, the main important thing, even for a preacher, when he gets up to preach, is that it's God's message. It's got to be God's message. It has to come from him. What God told Moses there is, now you tell them what I said to tell them. Isn't that right? Now, I believe with all my heart, I know when I get in my study and I talk to God, I ask him to direct my lips. I know when I stand up to preach, I'm giving you the message that God wants me to give to you. I know that. No, it's not because of anything I'm big shot. It's God. And God has called me to preach. And God has got a message tonight for you. He's already given you part of it. And instead of getting aggravated, instead of not doing, you ought to go home and you ought to do what I said a while ago. You ought to do some house cleaning. That's what you ought to do. You ought to say, amen. That man, God's telling that man of God what I ought to do. And that's what I ought to do. I ought to do that. Amen. Sure. That's what you ought to do. So it's got to be God's message. It's got to be the Lord's message. And not only that, as you notice there, he said all of it. All the message. If you notice in the last of verse 29, he says, I am the Lord God, speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Pharaoh, all that I say unto thee. Not just part. When Apostle Paul talked about preaching the whole oracles of God, he was not necessarily talking about that he had to preach every verse of Scripture in the Bible. That would be good if we could do that, but that's not what he's talking about. He was saying you preach all that God gives you to preach. Amen. And don't you hold back. Amen. No matter what anybody says, don't you hold back. You just give all the message that God gives you to give. You just give it. Amen. You preach it all. And that's what he told Moses. He said, now Moses, you get down there and you just preach all that I give you. All that I said to do, you do it. And then he said in verse 30, he says, Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of circumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? Now, I want you to know something. Moses was worried about Pharaoh. Can I just give you a good thought? Pharaoh's God's business. He's not ours. Our business is to obey. You don't have to worry about Pharaoh. That's God's business. He'll take care of those who stand against you. Our business is only to obey. All God told him was to do is go preach. Whatever I tell you to do, just go do it. And I'll take care of all of those around that might stand as hindrance for you. Just go do what I've said to do. So you remember that when you're raising your children. Just obey God. Let God take care of the Pharaohs of this world. You just obey God. You just do exactly what God says to do. So it's man's business just to obey. In verse 1 of chapter 7, he says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." If you'll notice through these next few verses, you'll see the, I call it the eye of God. Now, I'm not talking about an eye like you and I. I'm talking about, you see, it says, he says, I will do this. I will do that. I'll take care of this. And he said, the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made thee a god unto Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land." Now, man's business is simply this. It's just simply to obey God. Now, what he told him to do, you go down there and speak the message that I've told you to speak. Isn't that right? That's what he told, what he said. That's what he said to do. You just go down there and speak this message. That's all I'm asking you to do right now. That's all I'm asking you to do. Whenever I tell you to do something else, you do something else. But you just speak what I've told you to do. Now, you know, it's up to us to obey God. It's up to Moses to do exactly what God said to do. Amen? So now, what did God tell you and I to do? What message did God give you and I? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did he give us that message? Come on, see. It don't hurt. It don't really don't hurt to take your head and go up and down. It don't even hurt to say amen, brother. I mean, he told us, what did he tell us? He said, now you go out there and you preach the gospel to every creature. Is that what God said? Yes, amen. Sure, that's what God said. Amen. Now, what's it up to us to do? Obey. Amen. Are we any different, Moses? God said, Moses, now you go down there and you preach whatever I tell you to do. He's already told us what to do. He's already told us what to preach. Preach the gospel. Take it to every creature. Now, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Amen. So if we want to be obedient to God, what are we going to do? We're going to preach the gospel. I didn't mean just behind a pulpit. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to tell people how to be saved. We're going to give the gospel out so the folk will get saved, you see. And then he says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. You know, when it talks about a hardening of Pharaoh's heart, God is not saying, I hardened his heart against his will. I would not let him get right with me. That's not what he's saying. He hardened his heart because this was the choice of Pharaoh anyway. This is the direction Pharaoh was going. He was not going to let the people of Israel go, and God said, I hardened his heart. Listen, folks, it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing to want to do things and to be things that God doesn't want us to be. He might just let you do it. There's a lot of Christians today who just want to go their own way and are going their own way, and God says, okay, just go your own way. There's consequences coming. I mean, amen? Consequences are coming. It woe to us if we want something else besides the will of God. Let me ask you a question real quick, and if so, say it to yourself. Are you willing to say right now, God, I want your will in my life no matter what. I want your will. Are you willing to say that and mean that in your heart and say that to God Almighty right now? I dare say there's some people in this room right now could not say that. I mean, and mean it. Now, what I'm saying to you folks is that's what God is looking for. God is asking us to simply do the will of God. And what we do is we want to choose our way. We want to do what we want to do. And sometimes God just allows us to have our way. And woe unto us when he does. He says also in the last of verse number 3, he says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. I believe with all of my heart God is multiplying the signs and wonders in the land of America. All across this world. I realize, and I was, my wife and I was talking about this the other day, I realize there's always been droughts. There always has been in America. serious droughts. They have one out on the East Coast right now that is very, very serious. They say it's more than likely the worst in this century. That's 100 years ago. That it's getting so bad out there, all their crops are failing. Okay? I believe that there's always been droughts, but I believe the signs and wonders of God are increasing. I believe there's always been storms. I preached a message here quite some months ago. Is God speaking and are we listening? I believe God is speaking. I believe there's storms increasing. I know there's always been storms. I know there always will be storms. But I think if you watch it, it is increasing more and more because of the wickedness of America. I believe there's always been diseases. I understand that completely. There has been, but I think they are increasing. AIDS is a horrible, terrible disease that is killing multitudes and will continue to do so as long as we don't straighten up our lives. God is speaking. I think there's wars and rumors of wars because the Word of God says there will be in those last days. I believe we're seeing those things. I believe God is speaking to us. I believe God is saying to us, wake up. To every one of us Christians, wake up. Let's get it going. Let's do right. Let's get serious with God. Let's get back to God. Now, in verse number 4 of chapter 7, he says, but Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Now I'm going to go ahead and read verse 5. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Two things, two reasons that God gives us here for what he's doing. First of all is, the first reason is, so in verse number 4, he says, to bring my people out. What I am doing, I'm doing to get my people out of Egypt. That's the first thing he says he wants to do. It's what he's saying to you and I. Get us out of the world. I know it just really gets some people when you preach standards and separation and all that thing. I understand that. I know that because they're weak carnally. They're carnal Christians. They're very weak. They don't understand it. But God wants you out of the world. He wants you separated unto himself. He wants you and I to quit living like the world and be something different. And I'll show you why in verse number 4, because the second thing he says that he wants to do it for is what reason? In verse number 5, he says, the reason I want to do that is so the world, Egypt, will know that I am the Lord. Why does he want us to come up out of Egypt? So Egypt, or the world, will know that he's God. Amen. Folks, you're going to have to understand something. The only way the world is going to know God, they're going to have to see it through Christians. Yes, yes, the man does look upon the outward. Yes, God does look upon the heart. And that's why we need to live as close to God as we can, because man does look on the outward. That's how he sees. That's how he views us. How he looks and gets his opinion of God Almighty is through us. So God says, get them out of the world. Get my children out of the world. And then he says also then, why? So the world will know, or Egypt will know, that I am the Lord. Amen? Now he says this. You see, when they see, and if you notice that in the last of verse number 5, he says, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. He says, what he wants them to do is get them out from among the world. Folks, you can't separate yourself from the world, but you don't have to be like the world. You can be a separated individual. You can be different because you're a Christian. When people see you, they ought to know in a short period of time that you're different. You don't talk like the world. You don't act like the world. You don't dress like the world. You don't smell like the world. You don't have the habits of the world. Why? Because you're not the world. And you need to be different. And the world out there is looking for some people that's different. Amen. So God says, yes, get them out of the world. Why? So the world will know that we're different. Amen. Then in verse number 6, there is guaranteed success in what he's doing. In verse number 6, he says, "And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they." When they obeyed God Almighty, they had guaranteed success no matter what happened. No matter what God said to do, it doesn't make any difference. Why? Because they obeyed exactly what God told them to do. That's success. Success is not 1,000 in your church. Success is obeying God. And if God gives you 1,000 in church, praise God. But let me say to you, success is just doing the will of God and obeying God Almighty. That is success for you as a Christian. Just do God's will. Just do what he says. Then he says this, "And Moses was fourscore years old, and Aaron fourscore and 3 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh." Now he give us the age of Moses. He said Moses is 80, Aaron is 83. Now why was that important? Why did God put that verse of Scripture in there? Well, I think it's very important. I think it speaks volumes. I think it says to all of us, you don't quit serving God because you're 80 years old. And I realize that Moses lived to 120 years of age, and so he was, in perspective, quite a bit younger than that, maybe than 80. We usually live supposedly 70s and 80s and 90s and maybe 100, but we may be. But what I'm saying is, you don't quit serving God because you get old. You may change your way and the amount of work you do and the things you do. You may change some of the way, but you don't quit serving God. I read all through the Bible, and I'm sorry. I'm just serious about this. I read all through the Bible. I find people in the New Testament who was sick unto death, nigh unto death, and was still serving God. Was still doing something. Amen? Now I'm going to talk to some of you. You listen to me. I got to hit every segment of my congregation. I'm usually on the young ones, and they need it. I'm going to talk to our retired folk for just a few moments. In our church, we've got quite a few people who've retired in the last 3 years. You know what? I'm thankful for you. I'm grateful that God made that possible for you. If that's what God's will in your life is, I am grateful and thankful. Pastor Ross is very thankful for that. And I thank God for what he's done for you. And I thank God that he's provided over the years for you so you could retire. Because he's the one that did it and made it possible. True? But let me say something to you. You don't retire to begin to live a life the way you just want to live it. You retire to give you more time to do the Lord's work. And I'm not just talking about physical work. You retire to give more of your time to the winning of souls and the building of the work of God. You've got extra time now. And you should give of that time to help build Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm not saying this mean. I'm saying this as a scriptural truth. And on the other hand, I see also some of these older folk that are retired being our Calebs down here as they build this building. It's amazing. It is amazing. It's amazing to me. When I see them working hard and diligently out here, and I'm serious, that just amazes me. And I stand and I look and I just thank God for them. And I don't want them to overdo. But let me say something to you. When you retire, you do not retire to a life of leisure. The Bible teaches us that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world will choke out the word. And retired folk, you better listen to that, because when you get caught up into the enjoyments of this world, and that's what your life has become, and that's what you want to do, the Word of God's going to be choked out. Show me anywhere in the Bible where God caused you to retire, to quit on Him. He didn't. If you are retired, He wants you to give of yourself to the work of God in the way that you can. Each person knows his limitations. I understand that. But God put that in there so we would know that here was an 80 and 83-year-old man just starting their ministries. And let me say to you, they didn't just start it, they finished it at 120. Moses did. They're still going. You know what I think? I don't think Moses was out digging any ditches at 120 years of age. Do you? Now, he wasn't doing those things. I don't think physically he done those things. But he was still doing what God wanted him to do. The last commandment that God gave Moses was, get up on that mountain. He went. <sighs> 120 years old. No, he probably better shape than I was. That's what the Bible indicates. But he went. At 120 years of age, he went up that mountain. And I just want to say to you, and I want to say to all of us as a people, you have your limitations and I have my limitations in what we can do physically. And if we're wise people, we know what those are. We should know. But folks, don't use the excuse that you just don't feel good. I suppose that could be said about every person in here. Now, you hearing me? You listen to me? Use wisdom. Use wisdom, but don't quit. Amen? Everybody in here has a responsibility to be a worker and a server of God. Some way. So don't quit. Now, teenagers, thank your pastor. I got off of you for a while and got on to our older folk. Say, thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Just for a little while, you got off of us. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. We did that, didn't we? Sure we did. You know why? Because I love our older folk. I respect them more than you'll ever know. I love the Calebs of this church dearly. Respect them highly. I just don't want you to quit God's work. The work of God is getting people saved. Listen to me. People say, oh, yes, Brother Ross, I witness. Listen to me. How do you witness? Do you tell people the gospel? I'm not talking about going and having a piece of cake with somebody. You may want to do that. That may be a good way to do it. But while you're having that cake, do you not just invite them to church, but you open your Bible and say, here is how you get saved. That's preaching the gospel to every creature. It's not inviting them to church. Now, should you invite them to church? Oh, yeah, absolutely, sure. But you give them the gospel. You give them the gospel. It's the only thing that will get anybody saved. Amen? You give them the Word of God. Amen? So, you know, when we go out and we're so proud of ourselves, when we go out and we visit somebody, that's wonderful. But the giving of the gospel ought to be in there too. Amen? We'll pass verse 7 and go on to verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Listen to me. The world, Egypt here, needed to see something visibly. Now you take that rod and you cast it down. They needed to see something happen. Now in verse 10 it says, And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. I want to just get your attention just a moment. Let's imagine Aaron going in front of all of these people. And there he stands in front of Pharaoh and his servants. And he takes this rod and he casts it down. And nothing happened. He'd be laughed to scorn. Ha! Boy, you took that rod. Aaron, look at there. You cast it down. What's going on? You and I can't do the work that needs to be done. Only God could do it. But you listen to me. We must cast down the rods. It's God's power that does what needs to be accomplished. But let me say to you, we must be the ones that has the obedience of God to walk up and cast it down. There's no ministry at Blessed Hope Baptist Church can function properly without the power of God on it. We've got to get ready for Sunday morning to teach our classes. We've got to have prayed on our knees for our classes. We've got to be out there visiting the absentees that are not in our classes. We've got to cast down the rod so God then can bless it. Amen? Sure. And there's not another ministry in this church that we need to get the rod cast down, the bus ministry. You're not going to get any people on those buses if you don't get out there and work. You get out there and visit. You get out there and pray. You pray and you ask God to help you, but you get out there and go door to door and you knock on doors and you ask God to do something. You cast down the rod, but then it's God that does the miracle. Amen. Don't make a difference what ministry it is in this church. Every ministry, I'm not going to name them all, but every ministry in this church, it's the same way. We've got to cast down the rod. The preacher's got to cast down the rod. He's got to do his part. He's got to do what God tells him to do before God can ever bless it. You see, Aaron could only cast down the rod. God is the one that turned it into a snake. Moses could only strike the rock. It was God that brought the water forth. You see, the priests could only step into the water as they was carrying that ark of God down to the Jordan River. The only thing they could do is step into that water. It was God that spread the Jordan River. But we've got to cast down the rod. We've got to step into the water. We've got to do what God tells us to do and then let God bless that ministry. The widow lady could only pour out that little bit of oil that she had. That's all she could do. It was God that filled the rest of the vessel. All she could do is pour it out. She had never poured it out. It would never happen. And I say the same to you. We can only give the gospel. It's God that has to save the soul. But we must give the gospel. We must give the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can only preach and witness. Only Jesus can build the church. He's the builder of the church. You and I are not. He said, I'll build my church. But we're the ones that he's called to witness and to preach and teach and tell people about Jesus. And then he builds his church. See, it's up to him. How did this all come? Came through obedience. Being obedient to what God told them to do. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's what God is asking you and me to do. Just be obedient to what he said to do. Told us to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that what we're supposed to do? Just be obedient. Just be obedient. Now, real quickly, you notice down in verse number 12, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hearkened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. What happened is Pharaoh in verse number 11 called his sorcerers and magicians and of Egypt and all of them, and they did like manner, and their rods turned into snakes.
Let me say something to you. You're always going to have the false prophets. You're always going to have the Mormons. You're always going to have the Jehovah's Witness. You're always going to have those that are going around teaching false doctrine. And sometimes it looks like they're throwing their rods down and they're getting the miracles just like you're getting. It looks like it. But I want to tell you something. God's going to swallow them up. And that's what Aaron's rod did. It swallowed up the false. There's the false prophets everywhere. They always will be. They'll always be around. But God's going to win. He already has won. And in the end, it's all going to come out all right. What we're to do is just be obedient to doing what God tells us to do. Just be obedient, and you cannot fail. Amen? So let's just be obedient. Let's just do what God said to do. Let's just be busy about living for God, living faithful lives, being faithful to church, giving like we ought to give. Give the gospel out everywhere we get an opportunity, chance, not just those small opportunities, but take opportunities. Give out tracts, give out witnesses to people and tell people how good Jesus is and how wonderful he is, and go and see people and visit people and talk to people about the gospel. You know they're unsaved, go see them, go into their homes, sit down and talk to them, tell them that Jesus loves them. We need to get the job done. Amen? Is that right? Sure. Cast your rod down. Let God do the rest. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, again, thanking you today for your goodness, your kindness, your wonderful grace. Thank you, Father, for your precious word. Thank you, Lord, that you've helped us, Lord, in understanding your will for us as we are just to obey you. Lord, you'll take care of the Pharaohs. You'll take care of those that, Father, that would fight against us, whatever it might be. You'll take care of that. Lord, we just need to be obedient to your will. And, Lord, you help us now to do that, be a church that does that, be what we ought to be for you, and just see the work of God go on here for the glory of God. We'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.